Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you remember where you were and what you were doing on Tuesday, August 6, 1991? Several of you were not born yet. Some of you were perhaps enjoying a week of summer vacation. I was less than a month away from starting second grade. Others of you were carrying out your daily work, whatever it may have been at that time. The Gulf War had just wrapped up about 5 months earlier. The Packers were beginning their preseason in advance of a pretty lousy season. In fact, even worse than the season that we're experiencing right now. And a computer scientist named Tim Berners-Lee was publishing a page with some reference files to this thing he invented called the World Wide Web that would communicate over this growing network of networks that interested people were calling an internet. It was the day the first ever web page was published. Something enormous was being birthed, but probably very few people saw or recognized it outside of a circle of technical experts. Today, however, that mode of communication has changed our world, the way that we interact with one another, the way that we interact with the world, with business, with everything, has changed, and we can trace it kind of all the way back to that moment in 1991, or perhaps a number of years earlier when that network of networks was starting to be formed back in 1983. Over 2,000 years ago, in the larger Roman world, the thing that would have been making headlines, the thing that would have been grabbing people's attention, was the census that Caesar Augustus had put into motion. People who had been used to carrying out their daily callings were being asked to fit this new obligation into their schedule, to get to wherever they needed to be in order that Rome could come up with an accurate headcount for the sake of taxing purposes. Perhaps for some, the burden was minor. For others, including a young couple named Joseph and Mary, it was more significant, requiring about a 65-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem at a time when Mary was expecting a baby and probably would have liked nothing better than simply to hunker down at home. All sorts of people were inconvenienced. All sorts of people made travel and housing arrangements. All sorts of people had details to manage. And the fact that a few come up with a short straw in the midst of all this buzz is probably not surprising, though unfortunate. We're used to it. In busy travel seasons, we know sometimes that flights get canceled and people end up spending the night in an airport terminal. These things happen, and so it was in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph come to find an overcrowded city, far pushing its max capacity, and this young couple is shoved aside into the place where at least there's a little bit of shelter, but it's among the animals, and it's where Mary's going to give birth. It was an unfortunate set of circumstances, certainly not ideal. But would any of the inhabitants of that country have imagined that such a setting would become the stage for the beginning of the greatest rescue mission the world has ever known? That people would be gathering in buildings like these and in our homes over 2,000 years later to remember and celebrate that event, the event that transpired on that day to that couple in overcrowded Bethlehem. By faith, we have come to discern that a Roman census was not the most important thing happening that day. Forget Rome. Fix your attention on Bethlehem and perceive the beginning of something amazing, the birth of one who changes everything. The birth of the one in whom God's plan for everything would find its center. It's not every day that we get proclaimed from the sky news of the most important event that we should be paying attention to today. Rarely does that ever happen to us. But that first Christmas was a rare kind of day. And so we read of shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their sheep, greeted by a messenger angel who was later accompanied by an angel army with this news: "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." With the appearance of the angels, God is without a doubt announcing to the world, this is the main event. The census is going to come and go. Your sheep shepherds will come and go. Whatever stuff you have going on with your family right now is going to come and go. Whatever's happening in the world, in the realm of politics right now, is going to come and go. Whatever health difficulty you might be facing, or whatever good health you might be experiencing right now, it's going to come and go. But this event is going to matter for years and generations to come. In fact, people and angels will be talking about this and praising God for this moment forever. 10 million years from now, it's still going to matter. It's the main event. You see, our lives and really all of world history is filled with interesting and important side stories. And it's a wonderful thing that we are made by a God who loves us and deeply and truly cares about all of our side stories. But in a moment like this, on a day like today, He calls us through His Word to draw us back into His main story. His work to save and to restore a broken world through His Son. The entire Bible focuses us on this story. The entire Bible focuses us on this one through whom God is accomplishing His mission, the baby, the Messiah, the Savior, the King, Jesus. Though angels would draw attention to it, the birth of Jesus was an event that would, in many other respects, kind of fly under the radar. King Herod wouldn't know much about the newborn king until the wise men came and tipped him off almost 2 years later, perhaps. This Jesus would grow up in obscurity. He would gain a following during the course of his earthly ministry, but never in his first coming did he hold political office. Ultimately, he would die like a criminal on a cross outside of Jerusalem. He'd seemingly be crushed by his enemies, by the Jewish leaders on one side, by the Romans on the other. And yet, his life, his work, his death, his resurrection, they're no mere historical episode. They are the means by which God saved the world. They are the means by which God gives to you and to me the gift of redeemed personhood. To be a human creature, to be made in God's image, is a glorious calling. And yet we mess that calling up through our sin, through our selfishness, through our rebellion, our seemingly innate desire to call the shots and to want to live life our own way. Destroys us and our ability to live within that calling that God has placed us in, to be truly human. But God comes. God comes in the person of Jesus to save our humanity. How? By becoming human. He comes to redeem and bring renewed significance to our daily callings. How? By entering into them Himself and carrying them out to the glory of God as the one truly perfect and genuine human being. He comes to empty death of its power, its ability to separate us from God or from one another. How? By entering into death. By experiencing it for us, in our place, to destroy it from the inside out. He comes to usher in literal immortality, the hope of forever life, body and soul life for us in a world that is freed from sin, freed from the curse, freed from evil, pain, and death forever. How? By becoming the firstborn from the dead. His story becomes ours. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, as in Adam all die. Yes, that's part of our story, and we understand that. Paul goes on, but in Christ, all will be made alive. You see, God doesn't save the world through a philosophy, through a religious system. God saves the world through a person, through Jesus. And he continues to save the world through the same person, through the same Son of Mary. And yet, that saving work of God that he brings to us to connect us to Jesus and to keep us in him forever is a work that often happens under the radar, just like Jesus' first coming. People gather in a place like this to hear the voice of the Savior speaking through the Word, to receive the sacrament on a regular basis, and yet the world doesn't understand what's going on. In fact, often we kind of miss it as we come in. We think it's the same old, and then we leave this place and we go off and engage in efforts and callings and gatherings and giving and receiving of stuff, which we forget about a week or a month from now. All the while kind of missing out on the fact that what God is doing here is the main event, is the means by which God continues to save and restore his broken people through his word, by bringing to us the Savior who comes to us as we hear his voice, as we taste him and receive him in the Lord's Supper, right under our noses. God is doing something amazing, just like he was at Bethlehem. Sometimes we miss it, but God's able to grab our attention. At the birth of Jesus, he used angels and shepherds. In generations to come, he used the powerful and faithful witness of unschooled, ordinary men who became eyewitnesses of our Savior's resurrection. Today, he continues to speak through his word. He speaks through people who come to us at various times in our lives. He speaks to us through pain. And as he speaks, he draws our attention away from the side stories of our lives to the main event, to the saving work that he is accomplishing in us and in the world through his Son. And because this work of God is the main event, and because in Jesus he is faithful to carry it out in you and me, our lives can truly be filled with hope. If my hope is centered in things like a happy family, or a successful career, or accomplishment, or popularity, or whatever it may be, I will be disappointed. One, because none of these things are guaranteed to actually be mine and stay with me. And two, even if I receive them, I would come to find that my life is still lacking something. They can't deliver ultimate meaning. They're side stories. Only Jesus can deliver true and lasting joy, meaning to our lives. Only him, the one born at Bethlehem, the one for whom and through whom all things were made, the beginning and the end of our faith. Christmas is a celebration ripe with side stories, of family gatherings, snow, trees, gifts, and traditions. My prayer, however, is that your heart, that your mind will be captured by the main event. God coming to the rescue. God saving you and the world through his Son. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always Christ Jesus our Lord, the baby of Bethlehem. Amen.